We begin the current daf himself, the Shabbos daf Kuv Zayin. We begin on the top line of the Yomin, where the Gemara begins the discussion of the Mishnah that ended on the previous daf, discussing Tzedah, regarding trapping something on Shabbos. But specifically, as the Mishnah ended, regarding trapping that happens by itself. And thereby, in the indirect way, you end up trapping. That's the discussion that the Gemara begins with. Amr Baba, Amr Chia Ba'ashi Amr Rab. Nichnasar Leitzi Partachas Knafa. If a bird enters under his flap, that is, it comes under the flap of his garment that he's wearing, let's say under his coat, and it can't go out, it got stuck inside by itself, on its own. You didn't actively go out and trap it. Yoishav Umishamay Ashatechshav. So you could sit there and guard it until it gets dark. In other words, you could keep it there until after Shabbos is over. And that is, you don't have to go ahead and create a window of opportunity for the bird, so to speak, to go out and escape. You could keep it there and let it stay there till the end of Shabbos. Although now it's by default being trapped, since I didn't actively trap it, I could keep it there and I don't have to let it go out. On that, the Gemara asks, Moshe Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, we learned in our Mishnah, said, Yoshev Erishon ala Pesach u'melahu. If somebody sits by the doorway of the opening and he fills up the doorway, and this is talking about a case that the deer ran into a house by itself, and now there's only one way for it to go in and out, that one doorway. So someone sits there in the entrance, and thereby his body takes up the whole space of the doorway. And thereby, it's trapped now because it can't get out. Uvo hasheni v'yashav b'tzidei. Now, a second person sits alongside this person, also filling up the doorway, but the first person already had it filled up. Now, afa pisha amad harishon v'aloch leis. Our Mishnah said, even though the first person gets up and he leaves, and now the second person is by default containing what was already attained by the first person, harishon chayav hasheni padei. The first person is liable because he did the act of tzedah by filling it up with his body first. And the second one, although he's holding it there, he's exempt. So the question is, my lav potter aval aser. Now the inference is, you're right, the second one we say a lashon of potter that is exempt. But regarding all of Hilchos Shabbos, wherever we say the term potter that you're exempt, generally means that you're exempt, but it's still prohibited, it's forbidden, midir abanan. And that is generally when we want to say something is permitted, even like a tchilah, we use the terminology of mutter, that you're allowed to do that. Here we didn't say that, we say that he's exempt. And therefore, from our mission, you could infer that even if you're just maintaining something that was already trapped, which is what the second person is doing, because he didn't trap it, he just is maintaining what the first person did, and the first person left. So we say it's potter, but it's still going to be asur. So therefore over here, how can you allow the person to leave his garment and not let it escape? You're maintaining that. Maintaining, we see, is potter, but it's still going to be asur. Likatchila, it's still asur midrabanan. Nothing more says loy. Potter umotter. When our Mishnah said that you're exempt, in this case where you did not attain, you did not create the tzedah, the trapping, you're just maintaining it, we said not only that you're exempt, but it's even mutter likatchila. And the Gemara says, Hochinam Mistaber, it makes sense to say that from our Mishnah that it's even mutlik etchila. And Midik Tani Sefer, the Raya is from the end of that Mishnah, where it says, Lamaza Daimu. He said, what can you compare this second person that's just maintaining the trapping, but he didn't create it, what can you compare him to why he's potter? And the Mishnah says, he's compared L'noyelas Beis L'shamri, to somebody that closes his house to safeguard it. V'nim Tzitzvi Shamri B'toicha, and that the deer that he already had in his house for a long time is just considered safeguarded over in his house, which is, and that's what people always do. So Mechlal Du Potter U'Mutter, Shema Aminos, obviously from the end of the Mishnah, since it's telling us that this is what everybody does, they have all the animals in the house and they just close the door when they're leaving just to make sure, you know, it's safe. Since everybody does that, we're saying that not only that you're potter, from the raya that it's equating the case of the second person maintaining the tzedah that the first person already did, and even though after he left that he's potter, obviously means potter or mutter, just like it says that we're equating it to someone that just locks his house, where he's not trapping the deer, he's already trapped, he's just locking his door to safeguard, he's maintaining what he has. That just like there, we're comparing it to that, obviously, is mutlak etchilah, because that's what everybody does, and that's what we're proving from. So obviously over here, the case is not only potter, but potter umutter, and that's like the case that Rav was saying, that if the bird goes under the garment, that you're allowed to keep it like that, because maintaining is mutter, it's attaining the tzedah of creating the trapping, which is us. That's one version of that dialogue. Ikadam, there's some that say that Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, he says the reverse. He wasn't asking on Rav, but he wanted to say, that we also learned this in our Mishnah, that he wanted to bring a raya to him. That is, we said in our Mishnah, even if, in this same case that we just discussed, even if the first person that filled up the doorway, he gets up and he leaves, we say, the first one is liable, the second one is potter. And on that he wanted to say, my love, potter, isn't it obvious that when our Mishnah says that you're potter, it doesn't just mean potter avalasa, but it means even that it's going to be even mutlik etchila. Tosh Gemara says, loy, potter avalasa, how can you bring a raya to Rav from the Mishnah? Maybe potter, as it usually means in Hilchos Shabbos, means potter, but it's going to be forbidden. On that, he would respond, which is this version that he wants to bring a rice, says no. Hamadiktani seifa lamazeh adoyma, from the fact that the end of the Mishnah compares it and says it's analogous to lenoilas beisel shamrei. To the case of someone that closes his house, the door to his house, and then you find that whatever he has in there is maintained in the trapping. Obviously, it is a riot, like I'm telling you, that pater here does not mean that you're exempt, but that you're liable, that it's asim drabanan. Rather, means even pater mutter, as we're comparing it to regular people who do this all the time, that they lock their door, and we don't consider it as if they're trapping what's there, because it's just maintaining, and therefore, again, this is the riot to Rav. That pater in our Mishnah does not mean pater avalaser, but it means even that it's mutter. And this the Gemara brings exactly on this topic, the Amish Mul, kol paturi de Shabbos, as we mentioned before, whenever it says that if something is exempt from the Isra on Shabbos, is pater avalaser. It means that the chiv deraisa, you're not being over, therefore you're exempt from a chiv chatas. However, it means that you're going to still be aser midir abundant, still forbidden like a tchil to do it. Lavar mahani tlas de pater, except for these three things, that although that they're pater umutter. That it's not only that it's going to be exempt, but it's even mutter l'katchila, that there the Rabbanan did not make it asur l'katchila. There they were not guys. As the Gemara says, what are these three exceptions? Chadaha, one is the case that we just said, that when you have this there that's trapped already, and you're just maintaining it, that's going to be not only pater, but pater even and it's mutter. To which the Gemara says, "Umimai de pater mutter." How do we know this? It's obvious that we're trying to say especially to support Rav, that pater doesn't mean that it's only pater avalaser, but it's even mutter l'ketchila. Where do you know this? As we just said before, we proved it. Diktani sefer l'mazeh daima, because as we said in the sefer, it compares it to l'noyelas beisel shamar v'nimitza to yishamar v'teicher, that to someone that's closing the door of his house to protect whatever's inside, and then by default, the deer that was inside of it is already also going to be protected. And there, we're comparing it to people that do this all the time, that you're allowed to, or else we would say they can't do that, it'd be asur l'ketchila. So obviously, when it says in the Mishnah pater, it doesn't mean pater v'lasur, it means even mutter l'ketchila. That's exception number one. V'idach, the second exception, that although it says pater, it means it's even mutter l'ketchila, is a Mishnah in Idyas. It says, ha'mapis mursa b'shabbos, something that pops a boil on Shabbos. So it depends why he's doing it. If he's doing it to make an opening for the boil, then he's going to be liable, either because of boina, you're creating an opening, which an opening is an edifice, or because of misakin kli, that you're fixing a vessel. And that is, what does it make a difference to me if you're fixing a maka, a wound, or if you're fixing a kli, similar to the Gemara's terminology regarding mila, that it's fixing the person, what do I care for misakin mila, misakin kli? It's still the isra of misakin, of fixing, and therefore, you're either one, either because of boina or misakin, but either way, if you're doing it to create an opening, so then you're liable. But if you're doing it just to let out the pus, and that is you just want the pus out now, you don't care if it goes back and becomes a boil again and close it up again, then you're going to be exempt, and it's even going to be mutter. Because here there is no ticking of a kli. You don't want to make a wall for it, an opening, you don't care, but you just want the pus to get out. I don't care if it closes back up again. And the Rabbanu, we're not geyser a shvus over here. That is, although generally we say it is going to be asur l'ketchila, because of the tsar, that's a klal b'chlal, that Rabbanan not geizer b'makom tsar here, since the pus is causing him tsar, that's why here the pater is going to mean pater, that it's even mutter l'ketchila. On Twitch, the Gemara asks, as we said regarding the first exception, umay de pater mutter. How do you know that's pater mutter? Maybe if you're doing it for the pus, you're not going to be chayv on the deraisa, but it's still asur, mid Rabban asur l'ketchila. And that the Gemara proves, that now we learn in the Mishnah, that we find this concept when it's a b'makom of tsar, that the Rabbanan were not geizer. As they say, machet shel yad, regarding the hand needle. And a hand needle is only because in contrast that there it speaks about, a hand needle is one that you sew up garments with. And because it says over there, regarding one that you sew up sackcloth with, which is that you open up the doors with, there it calls it, it's a different type of one. So therefore, to contrast it, they say that this is a hand needle. But there it's talking about a hand needle that you could take, you could move on Shabbos, and that it's not mukta. You can use a litel by a sakait to take it to remove the thorn, the splinter that's in you. And that's similar to the case of the pus of the pimple, because it's mitzar, it hurts a person. And we're not concerned if it closes back up again when you take out the splinter or you take out the pus. And you see over there that you're allowed to take it even like a tchila, that and therefore the item doesn't have, the needle does not have a lach of mukta because it's mutter to move it, to go ahead and use it to take it out. So you see that b'makom tzar, the Rabbanan were not geizer. That's again, we find the second exception where the Rabbanan did not say that's us like a tchila, and that pater will mean pater umutter and not pater abul asa. V'idach, and the third case It's atzod nochesh b'Shabbos. It's someone that traps a snake on Shabbos. So there again, it depends why you're doing it to define, again, if it's a malacha of Shabbos. As we always say, that a malacha of Shabbos has to be constructive and possibly direct a benefit that you're doing from what you're doing. So if someone traps a snake on Shabbos, it depends. If he's involved in the snake just that it shouldn't bite him, then he's going to be exempt. But if he's doing it directly because it's for refuah purposes, then he's going to be liable because he needs something from the snake, and therefore it's constructive, his act of the trapping of the snake. And therefore, over there we say that he's going to be potter. On that, the Gemara says, how do we know that this case of trapping the snake just so it shouldn't bite you, not only is it potter that you're exempt, but it's even going to be mutlik et chilo? As we learned in the Mishnah, that says the same idea. Ka'ifin ka'ara, a person could turn over a bowl, and the bowl is talking about of earthenware, which doesn't get burnt up, so there's no problem of havara, of the fact of the fire, ala ner, as the Mishnah says. You could turn over the bowl on top of the lamp, so it's not going to burn it up because of earthenware. However, you can do this b'shvil shloi teches bakayr, so that the fire should not catch on to the beam. And although the item that you're putting it on is muktzah, generally you're not allowed to move something for a muktzah item. And here, covering the lamp, you're moving the bowl for a muktzah item. Here it's mutter, so that it shouldn't burn up the beam that's on top of the flame. Similarly, you're allowed to turn over a bowl about tzoyish a cotton for the feces of a child. Again, although that's obviously muktzah, however, you can still turn the bowl over that. Val akav shalei tishech, and over a scorpion that it shouldn't bite you. And that is, although that inevitably it's going to be trapped by that, however, since you're not doing it for, that's as we said, that if you're doing it just so it shouldn't bite you, then you're going to be potter. But here we see that it's even mutter ketchila, because that means that you're allowed, that's why you're allowed to move the kli. And because if it was asla ketchila, then the object, the bowl would even be muktzah. So from the fact that we say you're allowed to move it, means it's even mutter ketchila. And the reason is the same idea for all these things, is that is because of tsar, the rabbanon were not geyser, and that is although generally we say that these cases are potter, and therefore will mean aval aser, but in these three cases, that the potter even means that it's going to be potter umutter, again, because here the rabbanon were not geyser, because of tsar, because of the pain that's inherent to the person, the boil, the snake, and therefore we say it's going to be, these are the three exceptions that Shmuel says, that although by Hilchos Shabbos potter always means aval aser, here they'll mean even mutlik etchil. Hadnu lacha erig, we shall return to you, perik erig, the 13th perik in Masechta Shabbos. Now we continue on to the 14th parak of Masechta Shabbos, which continues on the theme of tzeda, of trapping, and also related to that, to the malach of chayvul, of creating, inflicting a wound. So the Mishnah begins. Shmoyne shrotzim hamurin batayr. Regarding the 8 different shrotzim, these creepy, crawly things, these small little bugs, that it's written in the Torah, hachayled va'achber, etc., that these things convey tumah, as the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph says, that eila tumeim lachem b'chol asher, that these are the things that convey tumah for you by all these crawly things, that the vermin that are called negeya behem b'moisim, that whoever touches them when they're dead, yitma the arv, that it will convey tumah until the evening. So regarding these 8 types of shrotzim, there's many different shrotzim. You look out in the world, there's many different bugs and different animals that slither on the ground. However, regarding these 8, the Torah says that they convey tumah. So regarding these 8, hatsadin, whoever traps them, is going to be liable, because these are the types of shkotzim and shrotzim that are generally hunted and to be trapped. And therefore, whoever traps them, or v'hachayil ben, whoever inflicts a wound on these things, that he's going to be chayv. And the reason is because these shrotzim have what's called oyer, they have a hide, as the Gemara explains, and therefore you can be inflicting a chabur, you're making a wound, which cannot be undone, and therefore Rashi brings 2 different pshatim, what's going to happen. That is, you can have an animal that has flesh. Then surrounding the flesh is skin. Now, it could be either thick or thin, but generally what the concept of oyer is, of hide, is that it's a separate layer on the outside that's independent of the flesh. These shrotzim have what's called oyer, they have the hide. And therefore, when you inflict a wound, it doesn't just stay within the system of the flesh where the blood is circulating throughout the body. It comes out and it goes into the hide. And therefore, you're liable of either one of 2 things. Either of the as a derivative of the malach of sheichet, of slaughtering, because now the blood that came out, it came into the hide, that's not going back into, so it's like a partial death. Another pshat Rashi brings is that since it has hide, so the hide gets dyed from the blood that gets pooled over there, and therefore you're liable for tzeveah, for dying. So either way, the idea is that since these shrotzim have oyer, has hide, it's not part of the flesh. It's a separate entity on the outside. Therefore, that blood that comes out doesn't go back in. If it wouldn't have a hide, it would get reintegrated into the system, into the capillaries or wherever the blood is going. Here, where it comes, it becomes separate. So again, that's what you have for chavala, for inflicting a wound, again, which is either a telad of slaughtering, which is removing the blood from the animal, or because of tzevei, because you're dying to hide. So those are two things that apply to the Shmuel Nishrots, and one that you're liable for hunting them, because these are the types of animals that you do hunt, and therefore it's considered an act, a constructive act. And also you have for chaval. However, the Mishnah says, b'shar shkatzim r'masim, but for the rest of these creepy, crawly animals, then that, for example, like a worm or a snake or a scorpion, these are the things that hachayivel behen potter. Whoever inflicts a wound on them will be exempt because they don't have hide. There's no separate entity on the outside, and therefore there's nothing of the blood coming out to either be chayv for shchito or for, like we said, tzeveya, and therefore it's part of where it originally was. And therefore you're not chayv hachavol. Hatzadim, or whoever captures them, so that depends. L'tzorechayv, if it's for a constructive purpose, as we said before regarding refuah, then you're going to be liable. Shalei l'tzorech pat, but if it's for no specific constructive intent, then you're going to be exempt, because these are animals that generally, types of shkatzim, that are not generally hunted and captured. It's just that you just don't want them to bite you or to harm you. So therefore, that's what's called a malacha shein sikh l'guba. That's not necessary for it itself. It's for a secondary benefit. And therefore, the Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, as the Gemara establishes it, who holds a malacha shein sikh l'guba is potter. And therefore, these cases of hunting these animals and trapping them, just so that they shouldn't bite or harm, there you're going to be exempt. So the Mishnah continues, regarding wild animals and birds that are already in his domain. They're already there. So therefore, hatsadin potter, whoever traps them is going to be potter because they're already intrinsically trapped because they're there on your property. But whoever inflicts a wound in them will be liable because birds and these wild animals, they have oyer, they have hide. And therefore, as we said regarding chavala, if you go ahead and you punch it and you inflict this wound, then the blood will come out into the hide. And therefore, again, it's going to be either shchita or tzeveya. So the Gemara infers from the cases that we mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, midiktoni hachoyvel behen chayif, and the fact that our Mishnah said that these eight types of shrotzim, that not only that whoever traps them is going to be liable, but whoever inflicts a wound in them, he bruises the animal, the shkatzim or masim, the ones, the eight that are written in the Torah, that you're going to be liable, mechlal disluar. Obviously, the Tanna of the Mishnah holds that they have hide, and as we said, the chavola depends on the concept of hide that has a separate entity from its flesh, that the blood will go out to it. So the Gemara says, Matana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that holds that these eight shrotzim have hide? So Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, Ditnan, Rabbi Yechim Nuri, Oimer, specifically he says, Shmuel Nishrotzim, Yeshlan Aris, the eight shrotzim that I mentioned in the Torah, that convey Tumah, they have hides. And he argues on the Rabbanan that in Perka Oiva Aretov, that they say that the Anoka and the Koyach and the Alto and the Chaymet, those four of the eight shrotzim, that their hides convey Tumah in the size of a dush, of a lentil, like the flesh itself. Obviously, the Rabbanan hold that those four don't have hide, because if they had hide, they wouldn't convey tumah like the flesh, because they're considered distinct and a separate entity from the flesh. So, obviously, our Tana of our Mishnah says that all eight are going to be conveyed tumah, that they're going to have the chavala, that you're going to be liable for inflicting a wound on all of them. Obviously, he holds that all eight have have flesh. And therefore, that has to hold that the halacha of tumah is never going to be kadosha like the flesh. So obviously that it's Rabbi Yechiman Nuri who holds that they have a din of Ar and Nalik Rabban. And that the Gemara says that no. Rabbi Baravun Amar Rav, Afilatim Rabban, you could even say the town of a mission is Rabban. However, how do we resolve this? Ad kan le plig Rabban led Rabbi Yechiman Nuri ele in Tumah. Because this machlokes that the Rabbanan argued in Yechiman Nuri, that they said that there is going to be what's called Oyre Kibsari, that we will have hide that will view as the flesh. And that is, and therefore they will convey tumah in the size of a dash of a lentil. Whereas if it's not the flesh, it's hide, it shouldn't. And here yet in our Mishnah we're saying that all eight are considered as if they have hide. And that's why all eight of them you can be chayv for chavala. How do we resolve this? Because that they're only saying regarding tumah. Why is tumah different? Why regarding these four of the eight shrotzim do we say that they are not going to be separate as or but rather as the basar? Because it says a pasuk in Vayikra that we mentioned before, Eilah tameim lochem, that these are the ones that convey tumah for you, that they contaminate you. Which are Larabis Sha'irisan Kibisaran. This extra hay, hatameim, these are the ones, comes to include those that their hides have the halacha as the flesh. And that is this pasuk of Eilat Tameim is written after the Anoka and the Koyach, it says an extra hay of Hatmeim, which comes to include those that their hides have halacha like the Basar. Now, not only will the Basar, will their flesh convey Tumah, but even the hides, which are going on the last Pasik that came before it, which are those four, because it says also Eila, that these are, which is always a meat, it's diminishing, and saying that it's only going on the Pasik before it, but it's excluding the Pasik that came before that, which are the first four of Choylid and the Achbar and the Tzav, that those four will not be included in this ribuy of saying that even the hides of these four are going to be kamei tumah. So therefore, these four that we say that they're not like hide, they rather have halacha like the basar, that's only regarding the halachas of tumah, because we have a pasuk that's a certain drush that says hatamim, the extra hay adds on these things. But it doesn't mean that they really don't have halacha of or, that they don't have or, they have or. But we're saying that in spite of that, they'll have halacha like the basar. But regarding the halachas of Shabbos, even the Rabbanan agree that it has hide, and therefore, yes, all eight you'll be chayav for chavala, not only the first four of the pasuk, even the second four. And although regarding halachas of tumah, we say that as if it doesn't have the ur, that's a drasha of an extra riboy of hatameim, the impure ones. However, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, definitely has ur. You do it, you hit it, you see that the blood does come out. Yes, of course, on all eight shatzim, you're going to be chayav for chavala. And therefore, the Talmud Mishnah could be even the Rabbanan. But the Gemara asks on this. Is it true that regarding the halachas of Shabbos, the Rabbanan do not disagree and that they hold that it will have all eight will have halacha of Ur? But by time, we'll learn the Braisa that says not like that. Said Hatzad Echad Mishmoyne Shratzim Hamur Matayim. If someone traps one of the eight Shratzim that are written in the Torah, or Hachayvu Behen, or he inflicts a wound on them, Chayv is liable, Divri Biachim Minuri, as we said, which sounds exactly like our Mishnah. What do they say? Ein ur, there is no hide, ella, rather, only, we continue on Talmud Beis, l'masham on the chacham, only for the things that the chachamim have counted. Where did they count this? In Perek Shchitas Chulin, that they said that these four are orisein kibsaron, that their hide has the same aloha like the flesh, to which the Gemara right away asks. That doesn't make sense. There's definitely something wrong with the statement we just said. Adirabba, to the contrary. For those four that the Chacham counted from the eight Shratzim, those are the ones that said that they don't have hide, because they're saying, are we saying Kibsaran, that their hide has halacha like their flesh? Those are the ones that are not Ur. What are you saying, that they all have halacha of Ur? It's not true. The only the ones that Chacham counted have halacha of Ur. That's not true. The ones that Chacham counted, they were saying the ones that don't have Ur. They have halacha like the Basar. So therefore, the Gemara right away revised and says, you're right. What we were saying was, V'amabai hachikam. What the Chacham were saying was Ein Ur Chalak Mi Basar, that we do not see the hide as separate from the flesh, El Lama Shaloimon Chacham, only for the ones that the Chacham did not count. And only those four that the Chacham did not count, which are the Chayler and the Achbar and the Tzavah and the Tin Shemes, those are the ones that we'll view as separate from the Basar. But the Anoka and the Koyach and the Alto and the Chaymet, those are the last four Shratzim. There we don't say that the hide is separate from the flesh, and therefore there it's not going to be considered a Chabura. There it's not going to be considered inflicting a wound, because for those we say that that's not considered. However, so we resolve the actual statement. But the question is, that's the difficulty according to Rav, because here we see that the Chacham that argued on Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, they weren't just arguing on halachas of Tumah. We see that they're arguing specifically, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri was talking about Shabbos regarding trapping them and making Chabura, that he said all of them have halacha of Ur, and they're going to be chayv on all of them. And the Chacham said no, that it's only for those, which according to the revised version of what they said, only for the ones that the Chacham did not count, those are the ones that will say that the hide will be severed from the flesh, and only those four, the first four, will you be chayv for Chavala on Shabbos, but the last four, you won't be. So you see that they hold that not everyone will you be chayv for Chavala on Shabbos. Therefore, the Tana of Mishnah cannot be the Rabban, must be Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, because our Tana says all eight Shratzim are going to be chayv for Chavala on Shabbos. So the Gemara resolves and says that you could give a different interpretation for this Tanoic statement that we just quoted, this Braisa, and that will resolve the statement of Rav. Amli Rav, because Rav says Tabaya, that he revised the statement of the Chacham because it didn't make sense. How could you say the four that are considered as Ur, for the ones that Chacham counted, and yet the ones they counted were saying that it's Ur Kibsar, and that it's not like distinct, like its own Ur. So Rav says Tabaya, how can you revise it like that? The Chacham did not say like you wanted to say that you added on the word that they did not count. But it's not true. If you read the Bryce, it says that these are the four, the only ones I consider are the ones that the Chacham counted. And the Tana is not going to make a mistake between which ones were counted or the ones that weren't counted. So therefore, you're back to the question that how can you say that the only four that will be considered like their Ur are the ones that Chacham counted, yet the ones that Chacham counted are the ones that seems like those are the ones that are not like Ur. They'd rather they have halacha like Basar. So therefore, Rava revises the Chacham statement and thereby resolving the question on Rav. Elamar Rav HaChacham, this is what the Chacham was saying. Ein Ur mitame kabasar, that hide does not convey tumma like the flesh, El Lamasha Manacham. So he keeps the word of Lamasha Manacham, not like Abaye want to revise it, Lamasha Loy Manacham. And that they were commenting, although the Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the halachas of Shabbos, their comment was going to the halachas of Tumah. And they were saying that Ein Ur Kabasa means that the hide does not convey Tumah like the flesh, only for the ones that the Chum counted. And what they were saying was, we agree to you regarding Shabbos. That yes, they have Ur, they have hide, and I agree on all eight that they're going to be Chayv for Chavol, which is the resolution of the Shita of Rav, that they don't argue on Shabbos. But what they were saying was, but regarding Tumah, there the hide does have halacha like Basar. And that's because, as we know, the drasha of Hatameyim, that's included from the extra hay. However, what their statement was saying was that the hide will not convey Tumah like the flesh, although we're saying that there the hide will not be separate from the flesh. Although we agree to you, Shabbos, that the hide is separate, but regarding Tumah, they would say from Hatameyim that no, they're included, they're just like the flesh. But they're qualifying in that statement of that drasha. They say, yet not every hide will commit tumah like the flesh. It's only for those four that we counted. Those are the four that the Chum counted in the Mishnah, that there we say that they're going to be like the flesh. And therefore, we see that really they weren't arguing on Shabbos. They were making a comment regarding the halachas of tumah. And therefore, that's not a challenge according to Rav, is that our town of our Mishnah could be the Chacham because they agreed regarding the halachas of Shabbos and they were only arguing regarding the halachas of tumah. But in this, the Gemara asks, if this is the way you're revising the Braisa regarding the machlokes that they were having, Michlal, it can be inferred the way you just said it, the Rabbi Yechman Nuri, Hanach Nami Deloy Monach Chacham Matam. It sounds like from that, the way you just explained the opinion of the Chachamim, that even the ones that the Chacham did not count, that he's going to say that they will convey Tumah. That not only that the last four of that we said, Oyusein Kibsaran, that their hides are like the flesh, and those are going to convey Tumah, because of Hatameyim, and that was the statement they were telling him, that no, it's only going to be for the ones that Chum counted. Those are the words you're saying it, and you're saying it's going around in the Lachs of Tumah. It's Mashma that, however, he argues on that, and that he holds, no, it's not just only those four that you're saying that they'll commit Tumah, even that Ori saying Kibsaran regarding the Lachs of Tumah, that it sounds like he would hold that not only those four, that Hatameim will include all eight of them, that their hide will be like the flesh, and that Eila Hatameim, the Eila, which usually diminishes, won't diminish and won't exclude even the first four. And that the Gemara says, but you can't say that. For Kutani, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri Oimer, we learned that Rabbi Yechim Nuri says explicit, Ches Shrotzim Yesh Lehen Oiris, these eight Shrotzim have hides, V'loy Metamen, not only regarding the halachas of Shabbos, but however, they do not convey Tumah because they have hides. They're not like the flesh, not regarding the halachas of Shabbos, and therefore Chavala would be considered as if you're drawing the blood out into the hide, which is separate. And the same thing for halachas of Tumah, that we view it as separate. And therefore, it's not going to be convey Tumah like the flesh of the Shrotz, and rather it's separate. So therefore, again, it's not a good revision of the Brice that we quoted to say that is what the statement of the Chum was saying to resolve the contradiction on Rav, if it doesn't make sense because Rabbi Yechim and Nuri can't argue on the statement that you're saying the Chum is saying now. Because you're saying that their debate is on the point of that it's only these four that the Chum are saying that it's going to be that will commit Tumah, that the hide like the flesh. Which sounds like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri argues on that and says, no, it's on all eight, but it's not true. He holds all eight will not convey Tumah as we see. So David the Gemara says, Elo, Amar Rav Adab Masna Tartzach. The way you have to revise the Brice is as follows. And this will resolve the question on Rav also. Chacham Aymim, Le'inyin Tumah, Ein Ur L'mashem Anacham. The Chacham say that regarding the halacha of Tumah, we do not say that it has the status of hide for the ones that the Chacham counted. And what they did is, what they did over here was that they just took out the word Ella, only. And the way they're reading it is, Ein Ur L'mashem Anacham. That there is no halacha of hide for what the Chacham counted. Rather, it would have halacha like the flesh. And that makes sense. And therefore, according to Rav, it's not difficult because what the Chacham was saying to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri was as follows. Regarding the halacha of Shabbos, we agree to you that whoever makes a chavol on them on Shabbos is going to be chayv because it has hide. But regarding Tumah, that's where we argue that there is not going to be the status of hide for the four that we counted because of the ribuy of Atameim. And on that is what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri argues, and he holds that no, even there, it will have a status of hide, and that is, and therefore will not convey tumah like the flesh. And that resolves, first of all, the understatement of the Chachamim, and the question on Rav that the town of Amishnah could be the Chachamim, because they agree that regarding the halachas of Shabbos that it does have hide. It's only regarding tumah that we have an extra drush of hatmeim, that there they disagree and they say that it's not like hide, it has a halacha like the flesh. But still the Gemara continues to ask on the opinion of Rav that he says that the Chachamim do not argue on the halacha of Shabbos. They're only arguing on the status of hide regarding tumah. But katilin Shabbos leplegi, is it true that regarding Shabbos Chacham do not argue, the Rabban do not argue in Rechem and Nurit? But Tanya, but we learn the Brice. Hatzad echad miches shrotzim amur matar. Whoever traps one of the eight shrotzim that are written in the Torah, as we said, these are the eight shrotzim that convey tumah, or hachayvil behen, or he inflicts a wound on them, chayiv is chayiv, bishrotzim sheshlan oris. And specifically regarding shrotzim, they have hides, that, and those are the four that the Chacham did not count. Those are the first four in the pasuk. Then we say that the oyer has a separate, distinct entity from the flesh itself. The ezi chabura she'in chazeres. And now, what is considered a chabura, a wound that's irreversible, that doesn't go back to be considered a chabura? Again, it's only would apply for the first four that we see that as separate, so that it can be considered a wound. But what is actually a wound? Just touching it is not a wound. You know, it has to be something that would be considered a chabur to be chayv on Shabbos. That is nitzer hadam avapish leyotze. That is, if the blood pools together, even if it doesn't go out, it doesn't emerge, it just gathers in one place, and as long as it doesn't come back into the flesh where it emerged from, then even if it doesn't go out of the body, it stays inside, you don't see blood on the outside, that would be considered a chabura, and for that you're going to be liable on Shabbos. He says, all eight of the shrotzim have a halachic status of hide, and it's not just the first four, it's even all eight. So the question is, you see here that they're arguing regarding the halachas of Shabbos, regarding those four that the Chacham counted. We see here that there is a debate, and they're arguing if there's going to be chavala on the last four. That is, they agree regarding the first four that they have a halachic status of ur. But the Chacham, you see, explicitly argue on the last four that we see that not only do they have a status like Basra regarding halachas of tum, but even regarding Shabbos, they say you're not going to be chayv and chaval. So that seems to be a direct question on Rav that the Chacham would disagree even regarding Shabbos. So Amar Rav Ashi, it's not difficult because Man Tanikam, who is the Tanikam of this Brisa that says Shrotzim have hides, which is mashma that there are those that were going to be potter. But again, now the last four that we say that they don't have hide and you're going to be potter if you make a chavala, which is not like our Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it's not a difficulty to say that the Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri regarding the halachas of Shabbos. But here, this is a das yach, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the Azal Basa Gishta, that his consideration, his litmus test for if to see if something is chayav and chaval or not is regarding the thickness of an item. That is, regarding halachas of tumah, he doesn't learn it out from elah hatameim to say which hides are going to be considered like the flesh that will convey tumah because of the riba of the extra hay. Rather, he goes according to the thickness. If the hide is thick and it has actual hide, then it's not like the flesh. If it's not thick, then he says it's like the flesh and will convey tumah like the flesh. As the Gemara brings, it's now learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer halta kechulda. He says that the halta has the halacha like the chulda. And that is, the halta, because the hide is thick, he considers it like the chulda, which is brought down in Perek Oyva Raitim. And therefore, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, it's not considered like hide from those three of the Anoka and the Kayach and Chaymin. In other words, it could be considered hide, but regarding the halachas of Tumah, he says, it has to be the kaveya, the defining characteristic is going to be if it's thick. If it's thick, then we view it as separate and distinct from the flesh, and there is not going to be convey Tumah. But if it's thin, then it will. Avle Rabbanan, the pligir led Rabbi Yechanan, linya Tumah, regarding the Rabbanan, that they argue on Rabbi Yechanan regarding the halachas of Tumah, that is, we say in Perek Oiva Reitav that they argue and they count halta with those that we say that the hides are like the flesh, and that it's not like chulda the way Rabbi Yehuda said. So obviously their reasoning is not because if we consider it distinct that it's hide because it's thick and it's separate, or that it's not hide. Rather, they just have a drasha from the pasuk regarding the halacha of tumah, and they're only arguing because of a pasuk, as we said, of hatameim. However, in Shabbos, as we said before, regarding Shabbos, they're going to agree. Of course it has hide. It's not because, as Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that regarding the status, that there are some that we're going to consider them as distinct and some not, and that will be based on, and that will apply even regarding the halachas of Shabbos, because if it's thick, then we consider it as hide, and it's separate both for Tumah and for Shabbos. If it's thinner, then we see it as really part of the flesh, and then it's not considered high, not for Tumah, not for Shabbos, and therefore he doesn't differentiate. But the Chachamim, their status for their argument, Yerucham and Nuri, regarding Tumah, is not because based on do we view it as hide or not, and therefore it would be the equivalent for Shabbos and Tumah. They really say all of them have hide, and therefore they agree regarding Shabbos that you're chayav for Chavala because it is distinct, and therefore the blood going out is Chavala, is a wound, and it could be considered like slaughtering or dying it. However, regarding the halachas of Tumah there that they differentiate, that's only because of the drush of Eilat Tumeim Lechem, from the extra hay that we include others. Although they'll hide, are you saying Kibsar, and they will have halacha like the flesh. And if it's not difficult, we could still say like Rav, that the town of a Mishnah is Rabban and not Rabbi Yechem and Nuri. But then the Gemara concludes and says, Ihachi, if that's really the case that Rabban agreed Rabbi Yechem and Nuri regarding the halachas of Shabbos, Hai divi Rabbi Yechem and Ben Nuri, when we say in the brice that we brought before regarding the halachas of Shabbos, that this is the opinion of Yechem and Nuri, and however, since Rabbanu do not argue on him only regarding the halachas of Tumah, so therefore the Gemara asks, Divi Rabbi Yechem umachlokusim ibayle. It should have said that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yechem and those that argue on him, that they agree regarding the halachas of Shabbos. It shouldn't have just said it's his opinion. It's his opinion and all the Rabbanus, because they agree regarding halachas of Shabbos, which is what the brice that we brought before was talking about. So therefore the Gemara says, you're right, Tanei, the way you should amend it and read it is Divi Rabbi Yechem and Nuri umachlokusim, that they all agree that regarding the halachas of Shabbos, besides Rabbi Yehuda, that it's going to have the same status, it's going to have a separate status from the flesh, and therefore all eight trusts are going to be chayav from it creating chavol. So in this same theme, in the same topic, the Gemara asks a question. We mentioned before that a chabura has to be something that is irreversible. So the Gemara asks this question. How do you know that a wound is only something that it doesn't go back? And to learn that that if it goes back, in other words, if the blood comes out and it pools up, but it goes back into where it originally came from. For example, by those that don't have hide, where it pools up, but then it goes back to as originally was, or a small little wound that doesn't pool over there. That there it's not going to be considered a chabura, a halachic status of a chabura to, let's say, bichayef for the halachas of Shabbos. That's only if it doesn't go back and you see it, the red blood looking color on the hide. So it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hayahafich kushi oirei, kina kushi turn over his skin, v'nomer chababuraisav, and a leopard its chababurais, which the Gemara says, my chababuraisav. What does it mean, the chababuraisav? If it's like the way the Pashab Shad sounds like, ilem the koi rikmi rikmi, if it's going on the different spots that the leopard has, and it's saying that it's spotted with different colors, so it's saying that just like the Kushi, who is dark skinned, cannot change his skin color, so too the leopard can't lose its spots, so to speak. So, is that what it should have said? The leopard, it's chababurois? Number gavanav mibayle. It should have said that the leopard can't lose its colors because the spots are different colors. Why use the term chababurois? So, then the Gemara says the drasha as follows. Ela kikushi, rather, the last half of the pasuk of Nomer Chababaraisav is the equivalent, is saying the same message as the kushi from the beginning of the pasuk. That is, ma uri, ma oire de kushi, in the chazer, just like the skin of this dark kushi. It cannot change, it can't go back to the white color. Af chabura in chazer, the lesson that's teaching is also the wound is something that can't go back to what it was before, and therefore the way Nomer doesn't mean leopard. Nomer is from the word tamura, of changing. And that is, just like we said, can the kushi change his skin? The nomer chababuraisav means to say, can you change the chabura, the wound of the flesh, of the hide, to go back to what it originally was? It can't. Just like the kushi can't turn it back and change it what it was before. That to make that the hide should not be hard in the place where the wound was. It stayed, it changed. That's the idea where we see the nomer chababuraisav, that it cannot change, it cannot be undone. Therefore we see chabura, a wound is something that can't be undone, and that's where we learned halacha, that it has to be something that once it was inflicted and you could see that it's different, the flesh is hard or it's pulled over there, then that's what's considered chabura and halacha to be chayav in the halachas of Shabbos. So the Gemara now resumes discussing our Mishnah, where we said v'shar shkatzim mechulu, that all the other types of these bugs, that or these little slithering animals that are not mentioned in the Torah, they're your pot, you're exempt if you inflict a wound in them. So the Gemara is medayik, it infers that yes, you're going to be pot if you make a chabura in them, if you just inflict a wound, but it sounds like if you kill these other shkatzim and ramasim, then you're going to be liable for killing them, because it's only a lower status, something of inflicting a wound, but it didn't say regarding killing. So, who's the town of a Mishnah? D'tanya's learned in the Braiser, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ha'hoyri kina b'Shabbos, k'hoyri gomel b'Shabbos. Whoever kills even just a louse, it's as if he killed a camel on Shabbos. And just because the camel is very big, that's why they grabbed that case. But it's the same equivalent of killing. Although it looks like a tiny little thing, you're killing it just like it's the same killing as killing a camel. And therefore, he's the town of our mission that says no matter what it is, the shkotzim or musim, these small little bugs, yes, you'll be chayev for killing them on Shabbos. It's just a chabura that we said that you're not going to be chayev on. To which the Gemara asks, Maskev Rabbi Yosef, are you really saying it's just Rabbi Elazar that would be the town of our Mishnah? Ad kan loy pligra rabban alad Rabbi Elazar el bikina. When did we have all the other rabban that argued on Rabbi Elazar and said that no, it's not true that you're not going to be chayev for killing? That's only regarding a louse. That there they said that there that's not considered killing and you're not going to be chayev. The ain't a part of a rabba. It's only because the louse doesn't reproduce, doesn't have children. And therefore, there they say that that's not considered killing something. That's mechayev you for killing, as we're going to see in a moment. Of a sharsh katsmer masim, the parv rabba, like, please, but it's not true. All these other bugs, which what we're talking about, we're not talking about louse, we're talking about all the other katsmer masim, they do agree that yes, you're going to be chayev for killing. So therefore, don't say the town of a mishnah is just Rabbi Elazar. It's even the rabbanon that they would agree that you are only part of a chavala, but you would be chayev for killing all the shkatzimer masim. As the Gemara says, v'shneim lo ilam dua elam e'elam. They both, in their respective opinions, learn it out from the elam, from the rams, which are the elam u'damim. These are the specific rams that were slaughtered for the activities of the Mishkan, and that they slaughtered them so they can get their hides, the oiros. And that's where we learn up the Isser of killing, which is from Shechita, where they used to kill these rams to go ahead and then skin them to use the hides for the activities in the Mishkan. This is where we learn up all the halachas of Shabbos from. That Rabbi Elazar Savu Ke'elim. Rabbi Elazar says that, yes, we learn up all animals from the rams. And that is Ma'elim Sheyesh B'Yam Natilas Neshama. Just like by the rams, that when you slaughter it, you're taking away its soul. Af Kol Sheyesh B'Yam Natilas Neshama. Also, any animal, even a louse, that if you take away its soul, that's going to be included in the Isser of Sheyechit, of killing it. And therefore, it's including even louse. Rabban Sabri no ke'elim. It has to be specifically like a ram. And that is ma'elim, the parv rabban, just like rams, that it reproduces, it has children. I've called the parv rabban. Also, all animals that reproduce, however, that would exclude a louse. And therefore, it's as we said before, that don't say the town of a mishnah is just Rabbi Elazar. It's even the rabbanan, because they agree regarding all animals, and even all shkatzim or masim, that you'd be chayev for killing. It's just a louse that doesn't have children. It's from those that do not reproduce. And that's the exception, and that's why they argue on them. On this, Amalei Abaye said to him, V'kina ain't parv rav, is that why they argue on Rabbi Elazar, and that they hold that even small little bugs, it is chayev for killing? It's just that the louse is somewhat of an exception. It's an anomaly in the sense that because it doesn't reproduce, is it true that lice cannot reproduce? V'amamar, but the master said, and this is in the first statement in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that Yoshua Kodesh Baruch Hu V'zana, Kodesh Baruch Hu sits, so to speak, and he sustains. Mikarni Re'emin, from the horns of the Re'em, V'ad Beit Zikinim, meaning from something from the large animals, all the way down to the small little eggs of the lice. And that is, the Gemara thinks at this point that we're talking about small little lice that are coming out of their eggs, that even those lice that are coming out of the eggs are also going to be sustained by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that they do reproduce, that there are eggs. Where are they from? From their Tati Amami lice. So how do you say that they don't reproduce? That he answers that no. Beit Zikinim doesn't mean the eggs of lice. Minahu demikri Beit Zikinim. There's a certain species that's called Beit Zikinim, the eggs of lice, but they're not eggs from previous lice. It's a certain type of creature that has that name. And the Gemara asks, but time to learn the Braisa again, Tefuye u'Beit Zikinim, that regarding Tefuye and the eggs of Kinim, it sounds like that they have eggs, which the Gemara answers there also, Minahu demikri Beit Zikinim. It's a type of a species that's called the Beit Zikinim, but it's not really the eggs of lice, because lice do not reproduce, they do not have children. But now the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yosef, that he said that everybody agrees that when it is parva rava, that when it does reproduce, that you're going to be chayv for killing it on Shabbos. However, he asks, the Gemara asks, v'ari parish, but regarding a flea, the parva rava, that it does reproduce, v'tanya, and yet we learn in the Braisa, hatzod parish b'Shabbos, someone traps a flea on Shabbos, and that is if it's in a place where it's not intrinsically trapped, for example, you get it from the ground or from the outside of his clothing, and you trap it on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar mechayev, Rabbi Shua paiter. You see, Rabbi Elazar holds that you're chayev because he holds all types of animals are the same, even the small little flea, but Rabbi Shua says that you're exempt. So obviously that you consider a flea, even though it reproduces, not like a regular animal, and that's why you're exempt if you trap it on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Ashi says, wait a second, Seida Hariga Karamas, are you asking on me from trapping to what I'm talking about, killing? Ad kanli pligir belaza Rabbi Yeshua. This whole machlokes that you just told me from Belaza and Yeshua, that was only el demars of it that Rabbi Belaza holds. Davish ain b'mino nitzit chayv. That even something it's a type of species that's not normally trapped, that people don't want it, you're still liable. Umar savapata, and that is Rabbi Yeshua says that you're exempt because no one wants fleas. You just trap it to just get rid of it. And therefore, since it's type of species that generally people don't want it, therefore you're exempt even if you're going to trap it. That's why we say the flea is not going to be chayiv. Aval in hariga, but regarding killing, even Rabbi Shua would agree that yes, of course you're chayiv for killing the flea because it reproduces. And that's the criteria that everyone says. If it reproduces, then yes, you're going to be chayiv. And it's only regarding the lice that's different because that's not part of it, that doesn't reproduce. However, it is, as we said before, that you will be liable, and Rabbi Shua is only arguing regarding tzedin, not regarding hariga. So now we resume discussing our Mishnah. It says, Hatzadon letzayrich chayiv chulu, that whoever traps an animal for purposeful, for something constructive, then he's going to be liable. But if it's not, then you're potter. To which the Gemara asks, Matan, who's the town of our Mishnah? So I'm Rabbi Huda Merav. That's Rabbi Shimon, which we said many times in Masechta Shabbos, the Amma Melocha Shintzuch Leguva Patrala, that he says that someone that's doing an activity that's not necessary, that's not intrinsic for the item itself, although it's productive and constructive for a different purpose, you're going to be exempt. And therefore over here, since even if you want it, it shouldn't harm you, so it is constructive and it's productive. However, for the act that you're doing, the trapping, it's not, you don't want the trapping, you'd rather not have it come in the first place, that's something that's called, it's malach shen tzich leguf, and that's why you're part in such a case. That's what Rav said. Some say the statement of Rav, that who is this town that's Reb Shimon that holds Melacha Shein Tzich Leguf is Potter, they say it on a different Tanoic statement. They learned Hamap is Mursa B'Shabbos, something that pops a boil on Shabbos. So we said it depends why you're doing it. Im Lasis Lo Per Chayv, if you're doing it to make an opening, then you're liable. Again, either because of Binyan, that you're creating an opening, or because of Mesakin Mana, so that is, you're going to be Chayv because of that. However, Im Lo Hitzim Imen Alecha Potter, but if you're doing it just to let out the pust, then we said you're going to be Potter, as we mentioned on Omer Aleph. So Matan, who's the town of a mission that differentiates, that says if you're just doing it to take out the pus, in spite of the fact that inevitably it's going to be creating a peh, which will be doing binyan or mesakin, that you're going to be potter. I'm Rabbi Merav. That's Rabbi Shimon. Dama malacha shein tzich leguf potter, that says that a malacha that's not intrinsic for what you want it for, then you're going to be potter. And that therefore, although here inevitably that it's going to happen, that the Pesach will be made, that however, since you don't really need that now, you don't care if it covers over again right away and the Pesach's undone because you just want the pus out, therefore you're going to be potter. That's a second version of what Rav's statement was going on. The Yigid Masin Lahan, some say that the statement of Rav saying that it's Reb Shimon was going on the following Tanoik statement. Hatzod Nochish B'Shabbos, someone that traps a snake on Shabbos. So it depends here also, why are you trapping the snake? Imas Asik Boi Shalei Shechena Pata. If you're involved in it so that it shouldn't bite you, then you're going to be Pata. Im L'Refu Achai, but however, if you're doing it because you want it, you need to use it for some type of healing purposes, then you're liable. So Rishi Gemara asks, Ma Tana, who is the Tana of that Mishnah? That's saying that it depends what it's for, and if you're doing it, in spite of the fact that inevitably it will be constructive, however, since the act is not, then you're going to be potter. Rabbi Huda Mishrav, Rabbi Shimon, the Amma Melacha Shein Tzich Leguf, potter, that he says, again, that a Melacha Shein Tzich Leguf, that you're going to be exempt. And here also, that although you're doing an act of tzedah, which is a Melacha of trapping, however, you don't need the trapping. You just don't want it to bite you. And if you knew that it was going to stay and not bite you, you wouldn't trap it in the first place. So therefore, that's considered malacha shein tzich legufa, and therefore you're potter on it. So the Gemara continues with similar types of halachas. Amashmul, hashoy ledag min hayam. If someone pulls out a fish from the sea that was already trapped already, it was in an area where it couldn't get away from you. So you're not going to be chayv for tzedah, for trapping, for taking it out. However, kibin sheyavish b'kisela, but once it dries up the width of a sela, which is the size of a coin, chayiv is going to be liable for taking away its soul because now it can't live anymore. Once it dries up that much, it's not going to live. However, the Gemara qualifies this and says, Amr b'yisa bar oven, uvein samfir. This is necessarily if it's between the fins. Once it gets that size of a sela dried over there, then it's already too late. They already killed it. Amr Vashi says, but lo yitem yovish mamish. I'm not saying that it really got so dried up. It will be considered as if you killed it, even elafil de avid riri, even if it's only just slimy. And that is, if when you touch it, then the drops of slime drip out of your finger, that will already be considered that it's already lost its soul, it's already lost its life, and you're chayav for killing it if you did that. Amr Mabar Hamduri Amr Shmuel. Similar type of thing about pulling something out. Hoshid yodi lema'ai behema. If someone pulls, he stretches his hand into the stomach of the animal, v'dildal uber v'shabim me'eher, and he moves around the embryo in its stomach, in its womb, and that is, he moved it around, that now it's miscarried, it pulled it out from where it was connected from the mother cow on Shabbos. So Chayiv is going to be liable for killing that, for pulling it out. My time, what's the reason? What did I do wrong here? I'm a Rava Bahamduri Asberli. Bahamduri explained to me, Rava says, the reason for this. What is it that I did wrong? Lav Amrav Sheshes Haiman de Tolish Kashusa. Didn't Rav Sheshes say that someone that rips out hops, and hops are those which they grow amongst the thorns, and it grows from the ground, the certain nutrients that waft through the ear, that is where the hizmi, these types of prickly shrubs grow from. So whoever pulls out these shoots of these hops, mehizmi behigi, from these prickly shrubs, is mechayiv mishum akar davi megedule. He's liable for the problem, the isser, of uprooting something from where it is growing, from where it's connected. And then in spite of the fact that this hops, this kashus, is not attached to the ground, as we say all over in the Gemara and the Erevin, that it grows from the ear. Yet, since that's where it's growing, in spite of the fact that it's not connected to the ground, you're going to be liable for uprooting it from where it's connected. Here, when by the uba, or the embryo, where you disconnect it from the mother, that's making you liable for this isra of uprooting something from where it's connected, which is a problem of kaitzer. Similarly, the Gemara says that, and this in spite of the fact, as again, that although it's not ground, it's an animal, still that's the same idea as these kshusa, which are also not connected to the ground, but you're uprooting from where it's connected. Similarly, Omar Baya, Haiman de Tolish, someone that detaches, and we continue on to the top of Kof Chesem and Aleph, Pitcher Mi'una de Chatzva, fungus from the handle of a pitcher, which is sometimes fungus grows in certain parts of the vessel because of the water that's there. If you take that fungus away, that's making you liable for uprooting something from where it's growing. That's the same concept. It's not growing from the ground, but it's still the problem of being ochred something from where it's growing. So Masa Rosha asks on these statements. We learned in the Mishnah, someone that rips out something that's growing from a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom, and thereby it's getting its nutrients from the ground, that's making you chayiv as if you're ripping it up from the ground. But if it's a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, that we're going to say that you're exempt because it's not attached to what's called karka oil. It's not attached to a good old ground. So the question is, there you're uprooting it from where it's growing. So why there are you potter? You just said it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't have to be connected actually to the ground. Wherever it's connected, where it's a source of growth is, if you take it away from there, that makes you liable. And that the Gemara says, Hasam lav hain revise. There by the flower pot that doesn't have a hole in the bottom, that's not its normal way of growth, because that's not how you usually plant. You usually plant these types of stuff in the ground. Therefore, if it doesn't have a hole, and it's just in a flower pot, that you're not going to be chayiv for. But hocha hanerevisim, here, these things that we spoke about, regarding the hops, and the fungus, and the embryo, this is how it normally grows. And therefore, since that's normally how it grows, that is considered uprooting it from its source of growth. And that's why here you're going to be chayiv, whereas over there, although that's really ripping out a flower or whatever it is that's growing, because since it's not really derech gedula, usually these things are planted in the ground, and that's where it usually grows, the yipater, and here you're going to be chayiv.